Well, good morning, everybody. Rebecca's going to start her presentation on work styles in the new PFA. Rebecca, if you'd like to go ahead and begin.
I'd love to. Hey, couple questions before we get started, Karen. For folks to mute their phone, what do they need to do?
It's star six.
Star six. And then if they want to contribute or say something, do they just hit star six again, or how do they
star
unmute?
Seven.
Okay, so star six to mute and star seven to unmute.
Yes. And since this is being recorded, let's everybody please do that, because any background noise for anybody who has to try to listen to this in a recording is pretty tough. So star six to mute, star seven to unmute.
Okay. Thanks so much, Karen. Well, looks like most of you have already muted. I appreciate that. Especially since this is kind of new material, folks will have a good chance of coming back to this recording and listening to it again. So good morning from California. I know it's afternoon for some of you. We're going to review the PFA in terms of some of the changes, in particular this morning, the work styles. This is actually one of the seven dimensions of compatibility that Proof Matches assessing in all prospects with our franchisors. And, of course, now we're integrating it also with the FranNet and the front end of the FranNet PFA. So you're going to begin to see this pretty shortly. Todd and Ravi are just fine-tuning a few little things, so we should be live pretty quickly. But we wanted to have you prepared to be able to see some of what's going on. So the work styles is also something you probably
Mary's telling me you guys can't hear me that well. Let me see if I can turn up my mic a little bit. There we go.
So the work styles is actually something you may have seen before if you're familiar at all with the DISC model or some of the other models that have to do with social styles or work styles. You're probably somewhat familiar with the work style. The terms that we're going to be using with Proven Match and with FranNet is a little bit different, but you'll recognize them as soon as you start going through that. So let's look at the quadrant as a whole. In the upper left-hand corner, we have the thinker, the individual that uses the process of thinking through things or processing through things in his work environment. So think of them as folks that move more slowly and like a work environment that has some structure to it or systems to it. It's a much more formal environment that they like to work in. They don't like things that are loosey-goosey, but they do like things that are a little bit structured. And they move through their day more systematically and slower than some of the other groups. The thinker as a whole, if you look to the left, is someone that typically asks for their coworkers or their employees or their clients to do something. They're not someone to be in any way blatant or overt or too bossy. They're definitely, what do you think about this? Or how does this work for you? So they're definitely folks that are more passive in their approach, and they ask for things versus tell people what to do. So in terms of overall managing their businesses or working with their coworkers, these are folks that strategize and think through things like systems, like structure. If we look to the left again, but down below, we have the collaborator. The collaborator is similar to the thinker in that they have a slower pace in their work environment, but they like a much more relaxed environment, not so structured. They're able to flex with the day, flex with the project, flex with the client, in a way where they're taking care of that client or that project or that issue, oftentimes in a much more relaxed way, as long as they get the results. So they don't have a right way to do things, where the thinker typically has more of a structure or a right way to do things. Both are slow in their approach. Their pace is methodical and organized. One is just more structured. One is just more relaxed. If we look at the right side of the quadrant, you'll notice the director and the promoter. These are our folks that their day goes super, super fast. They have 1,000 irons in the fire all at the same time. Their life is about doing. It's about doing versus thinking through or strategizing. So these are the action-oriented folks. The director is focused much more on systems and processes and results and numbers and statistics and kind of getting an end result to anything he does, frequently through other people. The promoter, on the other hand, his day is fast-paced also, but it's more people-oriented. It's usually around sales or team building or relationship-oriented or networking kinds of activities. If you'll notice the continuum of the line where the thinker and the collaborator are much slower and to the right is the director and promoter, they're much faster. You also notice that the director and promoter, whether it's managing a business or interacting with their customers, they will tell their clients or they will tell their employees what to do, how to do it, when to do it. A much more aggressive way of interacting with people, where the thinker and collaborator is much more passive in the way they interact with folks. Same is true above the line and below the line. The thinker director is much more controlled, much more systems-oriented, much more structured, where the promoter and the collaborator are much more emotional than the other above-the-line folks, the thinkers and directors. So they tend to process through their emotions, where the thinker and director processes through their head. So it's kind of a head versus heart or head versus emotion kind of process. So I wanted to share with you that you're probably already familiar with this. I remember Leslie Cuban bringing this up when we covered it at a conference a few weeks back. She says, how does this relate to the disc? If you know the disc, you study the disc, then you will see a lot of similarities. The testing methodology is different. The verbiage is a little bit different. But in terms of the actual social piece and interaction piece, they're exactly the same. So you'll recognize some similarities. In the proven match model, the director is also a driver. You may have heard that term, is also dominant or a high D. A promoter is also extremely expressive, verbal, enthusiastic, etc., and is also, in the DISC model, the influencer or a high I. A collaborator in the proven match is what we might also call the amiable, or the guy or the gal that flexes and kind of goes with the flow no matter what the situation. In the DISC model, the collaborator would be called a high F, or steady. The thinker is the analytical, the guy or gal that crunches the numbers, runs the systems, fine-tunes the systems, and we call him or her in the DISC model conscientious. I'm guessing most of you are familiar with these other two models, so learning the proven match model will be even easier. All right. Let's talk about the director a little bit, and I want to make sure we open this up to conversation in terms of how this is used within the FranNet system and how you use this with your clients. Primarily, what we're looking for is a franchisee that is as compatible as possible with the inventory or the folks that we have in our inventory. So this is just another marker that lets us know. You as a FranNetter probably don't need to know the tiny little minutiae details of each of these, although the more you know about a person, the easier it is for us to build those rapport and help a person through the sales process. So some of you will dig into this deeply. Others will just look at it and say, is it a fit or is it not a fit, and move through it. That's kind of our natural tendency when we're learning something new. So the director is, and I'm sure you can think of folks in your life that are directors, every new PSA will have a visual like what you're seeing on your computers right now. A director is a very bottom line type of individual. They're always keeping their eyes on is it red or is it black? Are we making money or are we not? Are we further ahead or are we farther behind? Very goal-oriented, quick to decision, all about results. They have a no-nonsense, bottom-line kind of approach to business. So when you think of a director, words that you probably will be using for that individual is he's a controller or she's a controller, someone that's a driver, a mover, shaker, totally comfortable taking charge, making decisions, not just for themselves but for others, are very capable of then telling others what they should be doing so we can move forward and get the results that we want. So think of someone that's very take charge, whether that's as a manager or as an employee or as a co-owner, whatever role that they're playing, they naturally make the rules, they naturally set the pace, they're very quick, they're usually several steps ahead of the rest of us as they're moving towards a bottom line result. Directors, as you can imagine, make really good business owners and really good managers. Sometimes they can come off as a little bit abrasive and insensitive, but in general, they are very good at directing a business and also managing and growing a business. A director, as I mentioned before, is extremely goal-oriented. They are completely at ease at being in charge. In fact, prefer it. Don't do well when somebody else is in charge. There's only, you know, room for one person within a business environment to make the big decisions, to move the process forward. And usually it is this individual, and this is where they're most comfortable. They just want to get things done. They don't want to hear the yada, yada stuff. So it's all about bottom line results for them. So their goal is usually speed. So not just the bottom line dollars, but there's a timeline always in their head that by this point they should be at a certain place, by this point they should be at the next place, and they're not afraid to sort of push or bear down on their employees or even on their clients or on other individuals to get what it is that they see in their head. Thank you, guys. The key with the director, of course, is he or she loves to be in control. It's all about bottom line, and they're willing to push others. If you are a director as a Fran Netter, you're working with a client, and your nature is to take charge, take control, and sort of push somebody through to a preconceived idea of a result that you have, and you have an individual that may be a collaborator or a promoter that goes at a little bit different pace or is a little interested in some things that are different than just bottom line, there can be at times some disconnect with a director with some of these other groups. On the other hand, if there's strong rapport, a director has strong rapport with any of the other groups will acquiesce and follow the process that the director has encouraged. So a director has a natural tendency to not only be in charge, but have others want them to be in charge. So they naturally get respect from other folks. So the director just loves a challenge, loves to be the authority, is someone that will jump into the deep end of the pool while the rest of us are standing on the outside thinking, are there sharks in there? So they're fearless in a thousand different ways. And we'll be the first to try things where others are still sort of taking notes and wondering, is this going to work? So they're respected by others, whether it's their leadership or decisions or their advice. We all tend to turn to a director and ask their opinions on things. They're very efficient. They're very effective. They're very quick. They tend to do better by themselves, working sort of on their own projects and processes. When they have to deal with others and there's incompetency that comes up or someone else is not moving at the same pace that they are used to working on their own, they can get a little snippy and annoyed by someone not moving as quickly. So think of it this way. The director is fast. He's decisive. He's goal-oriented. He's results-oriented. bottom line, what he wants is control and to be productive. And he has true and clear markers of what that means. The strengths of a director tend to lean towards administration and, of course, anything that has to do with leadership and managing others or even innovating to some degree. Things that really will upset the director is any kind of inefficiency or indecision on either an employee's part, a client's part, or a co-worker's part. They don't deal well with indecision or inefficiency. Again, as Fran matters, something we want to be careful of, if we get a PFA back that says, director, this is someone that expects you to have a process, expects you to be efficient with it, expects you to some degree lead them through the process, and any kind of inefficiency or dropout they will see as unprofessional and have some concerns with. So under stress, and of course buying a business can be very stressful, under stress a director can become dictatorial, bossy, even critical, and they'll start pointing fingers at others. So if I have a director, I'm working with them as a Fran matter, there's some stress, whether it's financial stress or home stress or some other stresses that are going on, you may notice an interaction between that client of yours and a franchisor begin to get tense, and the franchisor say, you know, this guy, you know, is wanting to take over the world, or this guy is uncooperative, or this guy wants to do things his own way, and we have our process. A director will always have their own process of getting to a result. So it's not uncommon for them to bump heads when it's not clear who's in charge. So if you have a franchisor that has a very precise process, if there's not buy-in from the director, there could be a headbanging that goes on. So part of our job as Fran Netters is to manage or facilitate that process to help that director and help the franchisor understand this is a director, this is someone who likes to be in charge, who's going to take over, and this may actually be beneficial for their business, even if it's not beneficial for that due diligence process or the whole process of buying the business. So the way they measure their personal wealth, at the end of the day, they say, I'm worthy as a human being, is by progress, impact, and a track record. You'll notice this with two of our big directors in FranNet, Jack and Jana. They're regularly looking at statistics and data, where we were, where we're going, where we are today, and the movement. So they're measuring their success and their value to the organization by that record. These are efficient folks. They want to be in a busy, hopping environment, but it needs to be structured, it needs to be organized, and it needs to be efficient and effective. Here's some words that I put together over the last few days that when I've heard people talk about directors, these are words that typically get used. Strong-willed, competitive, resourceful, self-reliant, outspoken, forceful, even somewhat nervy, confident. They're proud people. They're decisive, mover-shakers, very tenacious, almost bulldog-like individuals. They're natural leaders, always productive, can be bossy, can seem unsympathetic. They are resistant to others being in charge or rules changing. They like their structure. They like the organization. They can appear at times intolerant, especially if we're slow to decision or if we're not acquiescing to their process. They can get kind of irritable and intolerant. They can be impatient because they have their own inner clock that's going on, very headstrong, very domineering, very needing to be in control. If not getting what they want, it's not beyond them to want to have an argument about it because they clearly see that there's a right way to do something and there's a process. They can become workaholics very easily. It's kind of hardwired within them to grow and to move and to work hours that some of us would go, oh, my gosh, how do they do it? Short-tempered, only if they're not meeting the timelines in their head or the numbers in their head, and it's others that are preventing it. They can become short-tempered, pushy, and even manipulative. So we see lots of good traits, and when pushed, some negative traits that come out. You're going to notice these in your prospects if you haven't already, especially with directors. Let's move on to the promoter. The promoter, if we recall, is someone that moves much faster, is much more emotional. So this is more heart-driven than head-driven. Someone that works at the same pace that the director is, but his focus is a little bit different. The promoter's focus is less on numbers and timelines and data and structure. The promoter's focus is on the people. He's busy being a cheerleader, socializing, promoting his product or service, influencing others, probably selling or minimally cheerleading and having his employees get a certain result. So he's an individual that uses emotion versus structure to get a kind of a result. Some words that describe him: this is a guy or gal that just exudes friendliness, enthusiasm, very contagious in their personality, extremely outgoing, and charming. And that would probably be the number one word I would use with a promoter, is there's this charm about them where they just understand and relate with people really well, and due to that charm are able to get folks to do just about anything they want them to do. So they're not doing it through rules and structure and bossiness. They're doing it because other folks love their charm and love their ideas and love the direction they go. So we always just want to follow a promoter, whether we're an employee or a collaborator in some way. The promoter, obviously, as I said, is very enthusiastic, very friendly. People love being around the promoter because of their contagious enthusiasm. They make friends easily. They're fun to be around, and they have this natural schmoozer kind of a talent in small groups, large groups. They bring out the best in people. They'd rather be with people than looking at numbers or doing just about anything else. They're definitely people-oriented. Their true gift is this schmoozer side, is this charming side, is this communication part of them. They have almost a sixth sense about them of what people are feeling, what's going on in their hearts and mind. Of the four groups, this is a group that probably has the highest social and emotional intelligence. They're just wired to know people. So businesses that allows them to exploit these people skills and these communication skills, they're going to love, where they can influence, they can persuade, they can cheerlead, and they can take folks to the next level. They're always idea people, always influencing from morning to night, whether it's convincing you you should see a certain movie or eat at a certain restaurant or buy their product. They are natural promoters filled with lots of optimism and charisma. These are fast people. They're much more spontaneous. If you recall, the director is less spontaneous, much more structured, much more organized. The promoter, on the other hand, is moving at the exact same lightning speed, but much more spontaneous and not so structured. Their focus is on the people and building the relationship. They know that it's the people that ultimately will get them to where they want to go. And what they're looking for is that you participate with them, you're collaborating with them, you're enjoying your time with them, and you're recognizing what their gifts and talents are. Their strengths will always be in the area of motivating, cheerleading, persuading, and even entertaining to a certain degree. They hate things that are complex. They don't like routines. Let's not put them in a business that is too structured, is too routine, is too complex. They don't want to get into the technical nitty-gritty of things. These are people-oriented people, and as long as we put them in a business where they're motivating, cheerleading, and inspiring others, they're going to be delighted and they're going to be successful. If they're under stress, then they become sarcastic and even superficial. They'll have this biting humor or sarcasm where they're attacking the situation or the person that is preventing them from building those relationships or having that level of intimacy or influence that they want. So if you begin to see sarcasm or the superficiality come out, they're probably under stress, whether that's I need income or I'm not understanding this process you're putting me through. They can bite when uncomfortable. They measure their worth by compliments, acknowledgments. You guys are very familiar with the emulator side. You'll notice that the emulator and promoter frequently go hand in hand. Not always, but frequently we go hand in hand. So the promoter, like the emulator, enjoys when we recognize their skills and their talents, and we acknowledge that, and we highlight that in our conversations with them. They need and want whatever business we help them look at. It needs to be one where they're building relationships with employees, they're building relationships with their clients, they're building relationships in their community. They need regular interaction. This is not someone that can stay at home and have a home-based business where they're not ever getting to be face-to-face, belly button with people on a regular basis. They need that personal, physical interaction with other human beings. Some words, they're very sociable, very spirited, convincing, spontaneous, optimistic, almost contagious. They're funny, they're delightful, they're inspiring, they're talkers. They're typically very popular all the way from, you know, social situations to business situations. People know the promoter. They may be a little bit of show-off or kind of the class clown, so to speak, or the person. When you're in a group, we always recognize that individual. They're loud, they're restless, they're changeable, they're lively, sometimes consistent, once going one direction, another time going another direction. If you're looking at it from an outsider's point of view, it may seem chaotic, but to them, it's always about building that relationship. They're animated. They have no trouble interrupting you. Sometimes they're forgetful because they have so many things on their plate. May appear a little bit naive, disorganized. Love to mix things up. Love that diversity, spontaneity. Can at times be brassy, say things that the rest of us wouldn't say, or be a little bit politically incorrect. But because of their natural, sociable, outgoing nature, it may not even be looked at as brassy. Someone looking at it that hasn't met this person before may see it as brassy. They can even appear at times undisciplined, that they're, you know, moving and going different directions pretty quickly. Let's talk about the collaborator. The collaborator is a guy or gal that we would call amiable or steady in some other models. This is someone who is focusing on, let's work together, build together. I want what's best for the organization. I want what's best for all of us. So there are individuals that are somewhat self-sacrificing, extremely devoted to their businesses, to their co-workers, to the organization. They're always about creating a team, working together, supporting one another. They're excellent listeners. They're advocates. They're folks that will do whatever it takes. These are commitment or oriented folks that will do whatever it takes to support their clients, support their employees, support their communities, and they enjoy doing it in a collaborative way. These are not natural, step up, take charge folks. These are folks that do it through others and have a way of giving 110% and expect sort of the same from others that are part of their team. So they're devoted, they're supportive friends, workers, clients, colleagues, advocates. These are folks you can count on forever and ever and ever. If they say they're going to be there, they're there. In fact, they're usually there early. These are folks that are just completely and totally trustworthy. if they're a business owner with their clients, the clients will know that they will never make a promise that they can't keep. They will always follow through. They will always deliver more than what's expected. When you're around a collaborator, they always have this relaxed disposition, this unhurriedness about them. They're very approachable, and they have a way of understanding people. This is like your best friend, someone you can tell anything to, and they have this incredible capacity to embrace whatever you're saying, not judge it, listen, and offer support. So in certain businesses, this is a huge benefit to be able to embrace employees, embrace clients, listen with an open heart, help folks get to the next level by coming alongside of that individual and helping them resolve problems or build a business. These are folks of the group that have a tendency to build the strongest and deepest networks. So in a community where that is important, or in a business where that is important, to have those networks, these are folks that not only build it, but know how to call on those people, reach out to them, and say, I need help, or I need a lead, or I need this, and people will do whatever they can to come to a collaborator's support. Again, team builders, these are risk-averse folks. When you view this person, and you'll see these amongst us and Franet, and you'll see them amongst our franchisors, they're very composed, they're very stable. The stressful situations, they just handle with composure and balance. They're excellent planners, consistent and hard workers, and never, never, never will let anybody down. These are folks that will see to it that they follow through with any kind of agreement. The collaborator is more like the thinker in that they need a slower pace. The difference between the collaborator and the thinker is that the collaborator has a much more relaxed environment, where the thinker has a much more formal or structured environment. So it wouldn't be uncommon for a collaborator to be in a pile of papers or in a disorganized situation, because the focus is not on getting it done, but instead about fulfilling agreements, building those relationships, and following through. And that can be in a much more relaxed way versus an organized, structured, methodical way that the thinker might have. So their strengths are definitely the ability to listen to the needs of their clients, listen to the needs of their employees, work as a team, and obviously fulfill commitments and follow through. Irritation. A collaborator is, by their very nature, an emotional person, just like the promoter is, and they don't deal well if they are being treated in an insensitive way. So as a Franet consultant, these are folks that we have to pay attention to in terms of what are their pains, what's going on in their lives, what's causing some of the confusion. What's causing some of these decisions right now. If we're not paying attention to some of those things, they might see us as insensitive. The same holds true of our franchisor. If we send them a collaborator, if the franchisor's system is too buttoned down, too methodical, the collaborator may see that as inflexible, insensitive, pushing someone through the process and really not getting to know them as they would like to be known. Under stress, these folks can become extremely passive, submissive, and even indecisive. This is where they'll drop out. So if we're not paying attention to the emotional side of them or this relationship side of them, we can lose them. They'll quit responding to us. Their answers to us will be sort of indirect and doesn't really give us a whole lot of data to help them to the next step. But they go into a very passive, submissive role. These are not folks that are like the director or the thinker, where it's chop chop and they move through things. Not till the emotional side is taken care of. They measure their personal worth by how compatible they are with you in that friend-net to prospect relationship, how they're compatible they are with the franchisor and themselves, and how much they might be able to bring to that relationship or to that organization. They need and want in their work environment, whatever business we put them in, needs to be one that's friendly, lively, personable, but functional. It may not be as organized as the director's is or the thinker's is, but it does need to be semi-functional, meaning it gives me plenty of time to relate and connect with my clients and my employees. Some descriptors. These are peaceful people. These are flexible people. They're adaptable people. They are controlled in terms of their personal life, their time. These are folks that keep their emotion under control, but they're highly emotion, but you won't see a lot of it. They're reserved, maybe even just a smidgen shy, very patient, very amiable types of folks. They're diplomatic, tactful, they're good mediators, they're very balanced. They're not these, you know, cheerleader types that we saw on the promoters. In fact, they may seem a little bit dull compared to the promoter. They can look sometimes a little bit timid, a little bit worry-prone, very good at compromising, in fact, sometimes too much so. So that's our collaborator. Let's talk about, hang on just a second. Okay, let's talk about the thinker for a second, but I lost my slide there. The thinker is a guy or a gal that is similar to the director in they are more head-oriented than heart-oriented, but they are slower than the director. The director has a tendency to move very quickly. The thinker is much more methodical or systematic. So the thinker is, in the DISC model, what we call the conscientious or the analytical. So these are folks that are interested in accuracy. They're interested in solving a problem. They love complexity and drilling down and learning more about it. They like perfecting and fine-tuning and seeing to it whatever their fine-tuning is getting better and better results. They're great at problem-solving and following through. So any kind of a business that allows them to be problem solvers, that allows them to create systems or increase accuracy or in some way has them resolve an issue for others, they're going to be very interested in. Persistent, analytical, systematic, excellent problem solvers. This is what we want to think about when we think about the thinker or the analytical kind of individual. They're very task-oriented, and they enjoy perfecting and getting better and better and better tangible results. These folks are always in control of their emotions, may even be seen as serious or overly complex. They're conscientious and deliberate when making decisions. There isn't anything that they do that isn't thought out. Even if what looks like a simple conversation to you and I, they've run in their head a dozen times, and they've run the different scenarios of where that thing would go. So they're very deliberate, very conscientious, and they've already run the scenarios in terms of here's three ways we can go when they already know the result of all three, and they'll choose the one that in their mind makes the most sense at that point. Intelligence and ability to see different points of view is something that they're endowed with. It's just natural for them to be able to step in the shoes of several different views, including yours or the franchisor's or the franchisee's. They're able to step into those shoes and see interesting ways that you and I may not be able to see. They have an unusual kind of quirky sense of humor that others may not always get. If you can think of Steve Rosen is an excellent example, someone that is a belonger thinker, someone that is highly intelligent, a strategizer, able to run scenarios out in his head, see a result, and then his humor is an intelligent, quirky humor that for some of us we go, you know, it takes 30 seconds for us to get. And it's only because of that unusual way of looking at things that we don't always understand. They have an eye for detail, organization, as well as accuracy. They're slower, they're more systematic, they're task-oriented, and they're always looking for accuracy and precision so they can help replicate and do it better and better and better. They're good at planning, they're good at systematizing, and they're also good at orchestrating systems, processes, and people. Things that really drive them nuts is disorganization or impropriety. These are things that are not tolerable to them and will bring about some stubbornness if they do see it, or they'll go the other direction and they'll withdraw. So neither are probably excellent ways to deal with things, but it's just how they operate. They measure their worth by quality of the result, not just the result, but the quality of the result. Are we able to replicate it? Are we getting better at it? Are more people getting this result? So it's not just a result, meaning not just the number, but the quality of that particular result. They like a formal, more structured, more functional work environment. Thinkers. Here's some words that describe a thinker. Analytical, of course. They're persistent, very self-sacrificing, much like the collaborator in terms of a giving of themselves for an end result. They're considerate. They're respectful. They're planners. They're very orderly, detailed, oftentimes idealistic, very deep and thoughtful folks, loyal to the end. Some of the negative things is, of course, they're hard to please and their need to perfect and have accuracy and get the same results over and over again. They can be fussy. They can be sensitive. They can even be, to some degree, perfectionistic. You will always find them disciplined. You will always find them faithful. But at times, you might find them critical. So I want to open this conversation up for those of you that want to ask questions or have some thoughts or have some ideas. I'm also going to bring up the here we go. The five-pager, so you guys can see that. Uh-oh. All right. All right. This is the five-pager, the quick summary report that you guys are going to be getting very shortly. Robbie and Todd are just putting on final touches of this. It's looking really good. And basically, the first page will be your buyer motive. Your second page will be your values and your hierarchy of values. And then the third page will have stages of growth, core competency, et cetera, including the business style or work style. Some of you will share some of this with your prospects. Others of you will use it simply to better select a franchise organization for your prospects. We'll give you more and more information on how to use this as you're presenting. All right, thanks. I have lost my controls here. Do any of you have any comments or questions at this point? There we go. Guys, I have lost my controls here, so I'm going to stop sharing there. There we go.
Grant has a question for you, Rebecca.
Thanks, Grant. Grant, do you have a phone, or should I read it right off the chat? Okay, Grant's question is it possible to change the lost sheep value to be italic or bold or something for those of us who don't understand? Oh, that's a good question. So Grant is suggesting instead of the lost sheep being in red, if possible, we could do that in bold or in italics. That would be really easy to do, actually, Grant. I don't see any reason why we couldn't do that. Yeah. Are some of you finding that you're not using the color printer? That would be really helpful. Okay, beautiful. What other questions do you guys have? Do you guys get a sense of how these will be helpful in the matching process? I know some of that is probably a premature question because as time goes on, we'll learn more and more. Think of these as once someone is in the business, how are they going to work, how they're going to play, how they're going to interact within that business. And think of it in terms of someone that once they're in that business, this is how they express themselves. This is not necessarily a management skill, but how they want to work. Does it need to be a busy environment? Does it need to be an organized environment? Does it need to be slower? Kathy, have a thinker that thought herself out of a business. Any comment to save this? Great question, Kathy. I think that's a typical issue of a thinker. By the way, as you probably have noticed, a thinker and a societal and a thinker and a belonger frequently also go together. Not always, but sometimes. But that thinker oftentimes is running the numbers, running the scenarios, needing all those statistics, asking 1,000 questions, running probabilities, and can, just like Kathy is saying, talk themselves out or think themselves out of a business. So the answer I would have to you is how can we, in terms of how do we help this person, how do I save a thinker? First and foremost, find a business where that environment is structured, that environment is systematic, and most importantly, that environment is one where they can fine-tune and perfect. So the product or service that you're choosing is perfecting or fine-tuning or helping their clients. So the more we can find a product or service that allows them to do that, the better. I don't know what that product or service might be, but it needs to be something where they can go to a prospect or a client and solve a problem, and then the next month get even better at solving it, and the next month get even better. So they need to have process. They need to have a sense of perfection. Secondly, and Kathy, I'm guessing you're probably already doing this, is with a thinker, you need to have them write things down. What are the 10 things that will let you know you have found the right business? And I'm guessing you're already doing the mind mapping piece and the business model. But for these in particular, we have to come back. Typically, that business model for thinker will have analytics in it that you and I may not have. It may have very precise details, and we have to regularly come back. But it is an issue. A thinker, because of their ability to foresee things, will oftentimes talk themselves out of it if all the ducks are not in a row. They're not the risk taker that the other groups might be. How many weeks before we can begin to use the new PFA with our prospects? I just last week saw what Robbie and Todd have done. It looks beautiful. Obviously, the assessment tool has been done. Some of you are already using it. It was just the front end that was kind of special to Franet that wasn't complete. Robbie has that complete. Now they're working on integrating the reports. I'm having to update some of the algorithms, especially for the FEAR report, which is, you know, unique to Franet. So we'll have to ask that question of Jana and of Todd, but it looks really close, Gary, in terms of when that's done, and it's looking really nice. They've done a beautiful job. Some of you, and Gary, good question, some of you want to take this assessment yourself. Feel free to send me an email, and I will send you links to take the assessment. If you would prefer to temporarily, until the Franet system is up and you want to just sort of play with it with your wives and your children and others, you want to just sort of get used to the system, send me an email and I'll set you up a demo account. And then once the Franet system is up, of course, we'll close those accounts. You won't need that. But just for you to get used to it and play with it, you're welcome to have demo accounts. Some of you have already done that and are using it on your family and friends, et cetera. That's a really good idea. I'm reading Paige's question. Is it possible to get a script of how to present the PFA to a client in terms of what it tells us about them and how it relates to the business? I think what's going to happen here, Paige, because I think that's a brilliant idea, is as you guys use this more, you're out there doing it. You're interfacing. And I can only sort of hypothesize how best to present it. So I think what will happen is what's happened in the past is you'll start to present, you'll start to use it, you'll give me some feedback, you'll give Jana and the rest of the team some feedback, and we'll begin to compile that script just like we did for the buyer motives and the meta programs and some of those things. So the more feedback, as you know, Paige, my personality is such that I love that feedback, I love that critique, and as you give it to me, it allows me to fine-tune and better the tool for you guys. So I think that's the goal that Jana has and Jack and Steve have, is for us to have some kind of a script that lets us know how to present these parts to our clients. And I'm happy to do that as I get some feedback. Good question, Carrie. Carrie's asking, is there a parallel, like achiever to director, emulator, promoter, belonger to collaborator? Is a thinker a societal? Carrie, that's a brilliant question because the reality is there are some parallels, but it's not 100% rule. So there is a propensity for an achiever to also be a director, but you'll also see an achiever who's a collaborator. And this is why it's exciting for me when I look at franchise organizations where we need an achiever in that organization, but we need someone who's also a promoter, who's a cheerleader, who has this way of influencing and empowering their staff and their clients. So it could be an achiever collaborator in a certain business that makes that business model work. In other cases, it could be a belonger who also has this director kind of way of working. So as we're doing more and more top performer models, we're seeing, yes, there's some correlation, some parallel, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's who the top performer is going to be. There's going to be situations where I need a belonger director or I need a societal collaborator for that business model to work. Will the Zores be tested so we know which are appropriate for each proven match type? We are just kicked off three top performer models. In fact, two we've presented. One is just probably a week to 10 days out. So Todd is taking an active role in that, as is Jana. We're doing quarterly sessions for Zores and encouraging them to do a top performer. As we get them, we will pass them on to Franet, and you as a group will be able to see who that top performer is. In fact, I believe just last week, and Tracy can correct me on this, I think Tracy's still in the room with us right now, Spring Green just finished a top performer model, and I believe they presented at your inventory meeting last week who their top performer was and who their looking for. So as we do them, we'll pass them on and encourage them to pass them on also. We're just starting to finish up Max Muscle. We have Bright Star, and as we get them, we'll pass them on to you, and we'll have more data. Good questions, guys. Any other questions or things that I can help with? Okay. Beautiful.
Okay, well, if we don't have any other questions, we're going to go ahead and conclude this webinar. Thank you, everybody, for attending, and thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Karen.
All right.
Thank you. Please stand by.